Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to 48 Hours ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Need more true crime in your life? An Audible membership can solve that. Audible is the ultimate destination for thrilling audio entertainment. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. Don't miss The Serial Killer's Apprentice by Katherine Ramsland and Tracy Allman. It follows the true story of how Houston's deadliest murder turned a kid into a killer in training. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/48hours or text 48 hours to 500-500. That's audible.com/48hours or text 48 hours to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. audible.com/48hours.
If you're a fan of 48 Hours or true crime, looking to try on a case of your own, June's Journey is for you. A thrilling hidden object mystery game set against the backdrop of the 1920s. You play as June Parker, an amateur detective trying to unravel your sister's mysterious murder. As you dive into a world filled with twists and turns, trust no one. Every character could be hiding secrets. While you piece together the intricately woven plot, you'll collect crucial information in your photo album, turning suspicions into facts. And if you want help on the case, you can even join a detective club to collaborate or compete with fellow sleuths on hundreds of puzzles. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Joshua Tree National Park is a very large and desolate area. There's not a lot of water in these areas, and it gets very hot during the day and very cold at night.
It's a beautiful area. The Joshua Trees are like something out of a Dr. Seuss book.
Erin Corwin was a 19-year-old pregnant Marine wife.
On June 28th, 2014, Erin woke up her husband, John Corwin, about 6 or 7 in the morning.
The initial story we received was Erin had gone to Joshua Tree National Park to look for nice hiking routes for her and her mother.
John called and he said, "Erin's missing." And I'm like, "What do you mean Erin's missing?" And my first thought is she's gotten lost. Erin has no sense of direction.
I actually got a call from the base commander saying that he had sent out troops to help look for her, and they had found nothing. It becomes very drastic at that point. She's not very large, and she's not going to last long out there.
There was a massive search and rescue to locate Erin Corwin.
They searched in temperatures that climbed as high as 110, 115. The dogs were getting heat stroke. They even encountered killer bees. It was a really grueling, tough search.
You don't know what the monster is in the dark in the closet out there.
I think a lot of people first became familiar with Joshua Tree National Park through the album Joshua Tree by the Irish band U2 that came out in the 1980s. And there's a song on that album called Mothers of the Disappeared. But the words really spoke with what I felt like Laura must have gone through, not knowing where her daughter was, and out in the desert where the Joshua Trees were, she was out there somewhere.
It was big news for such a small area. Everybody was talking about it. People were looking for her. There was buzz on base.
We know that she is out there. It's just a matter of us trying to figure out exactly where.
John did tell me that he thought she'd taken a Gatorade, which is nothing in those situations. He sounded concerned. There wasn't a lot of emotion in his voice, but John, that's John.
There seemed to be evidence that he liked to keep an eye on Erin and make sure that he knew where she was.
You're not pointing fingers. You want to find where Erin is. You're questioning him, of course. When was the last time you saw her? Where did she say she was going to go? Does she have any friends?
Erin was not the type of person who would just leave and not tell anyone. Her husband was calling her, her mother was calling her, her friends were calling her, and it went straight to voicemail. That was a sign that something was wrong.
When they handed me that card that said Special Investigative Homicide Team, it just makes your heart sink.
The NCIS mission is global.
We're on aircraft carriers, we're in foreign ports.
We watch after each other, we take care of each other.
NCIS deal with every type of crime, cyber, fraud, murder.
General crimes, counterintelligence, counterterrorism.
Every crime is a tragedy. It involves sisters, brothers, husbands.
That's the only way to find the truth.
We live in dangerous times, and we're never going to give up.
NCIS, the cases they can't forget.
A sense of safety is important to everyone, and that's why I want to talk to you about Simply Safe. It's an advanced security system that protects your entire home so you can rest easy. Simply Safe is completely customizable with advanced sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. You can have 24/7 professional home monitoring for less than $1 a day. So try Simply Safe for 60 days risk-free. If you don't love it, you can return your system for a full refund. Plus, we're offering listeners 20% off any new Simply Safe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Don't wait. Visit simplysafe.com/48hours. That's simplysafe.com/48hours. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Don't waste time on apps that don't work. Babbel's conversation-based teaching prepares you for real-life situations. And studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/truecrime. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/truecrime, spelled BABBEL.com/truecrime. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I think agents become so attached to these cases
yeah.
because it's such a huge investment. It's not a 9-to-5 job. It takes so much focus, so much energy to stay on some of these cases, to follow them through to the end.
This is a person. This isn't a case. This is not a number. This is a human being. You can't forget that this person has a family, has a husband, has a mother. They wanted to know where Erin was, and you can't forget that.
Erin was one of our adopted children. She came to the house when she was 17 days old.
It's a lot to take in, especially from probably your least adventurous child, a child that you would never expect something like that to happen to.
A helicopter took off Friday morning.
The San Bernardino Sheriff's search and rescue team paired up with NCIS agents for the massive job of finding Erin Corrin.
Last seen driving away from her home at the base for a trip to Joshua Tree National Park.
They had to comb through more than 300 rugged acres of desert, pitted with more than 1,000 abandoned mines.
So I flew out the next day. I was thinking when they find her, she's going to be really in bad shape and she's going to want her mom. Erin was petite, 5'2", small girl, blue eyes, dirty blonde hair, very pretty. Of course, I'm her mom.
At first, it seemed like a small story out in 29 Palms, but for me, it had a lot to do with photographs of her.
Beth Ford Roth was a journalist with National Public Radio in San Diego when she first heard about Erin Corwin. The story struck a chord.
You could see Erin was a shy, bashful, sweet, kind girl. And I had a soft spot for her because of her love for animals. It was hard to find a photo of Erin where she wasn't holding a cat or with her horse.
We are at East Tennessee Riding Club in Oak Ridge. This is where Erin first really experienced horses. When she first started, I assured her we would never get a horse. We ended up with two. This place was actually Erin's second home, and I believe if she could, she would have slept here.
Erin and John met at the barn. She was like in fifth grade at that time. She was 15, then they kind of reconnected and they started dating on her 16th birthday.
John was great for Erin. He was a good kid.
He already knew he was going to be a Marine. Erin was 18 when she married John. They got married in November of 2012.
Soon after, Erin and John moved to the Marine Combat Base in 29 Palms, California. John took part in artillery drills that sometimes kept him out in the desert for as long as a month at a time, while Erin was left to adjust to living on a military base.
29 Palms itself is very unique because it's in a desert community, which is very remote. And there's not a whole lot there.
A base like this is very close-knit. You're going to go to the same grocery store. You're going to go to the same movie theater. You're going to run into each other. You're going to see everybody there all the time.
No one on the base reported seeing Erin leave, so NCIS agents naturally began their investigation with her husband.
He waited 24 hours to call to say that she was missing, which seemed sort of suspicious at first.
But John had passed a polygraph test. Authorities also said digital evidence led them to conclude that John had been at the base nearly the entire day Erin had gone missing.
Shortly after Erin Corwin disappeared, investigators found her car abandoned.
Erin Corwin's car was located significantly far from Joshua Tree National Park's entrance. She was not with the vehicle. It was a mystery to us why that car was parked in that location and not closer to the park.
Erin's mother, Laura Haviland, sounded the alarm to Erin's friends.
This is not the time to be loyal. If you've heard from her, you need to let somebody know.
I searched through a bunch of individuals' Facebook friends, including Erin's, and I was trying to find common links between who was friends with who and how those people knew each other. And I slowly grew to know Erin from my research. She started volunteering at the White Rock Horse Rescue Ranch, and that's where she started meeting some people and slowly gathering her social circle.
Agent DeChelfin discovered that Erin had become close friends with her next-door neighbors, Marine Corporal Chris Lee, his wife Nicole, and the couple's 5-year-old daughter, Liberty. They all loved horses and spent a lot of time at the rescue ranch.
She came to the White Rock Horse Rescue to find a horse for her own personal use. And Nicole would come with her because Nicole had a horse. So they rode together.
Erin also loved children and became a babysitter to the Lee's daughter.
And Erin really took her in, and Liberty was very, very fond of Erin. And she really bonded with that little girl.
I think Erin was enjoying some aspects of being a Marine wife. And other aspects, I think it was harder than what she anticipated.
Harder and full of heartache when, after posting news of her pregnancy on Facebook early in 2014, Erin suffered a miscarriage.
I don't think either one of them knew how to handle that grief process.
Erin was devastated and really didn't have anyone to talk to. And Christopher Lee saw that as his into Erin. He knew the right way to approach her because she was hurting so badly. And as he even said, we were two broken pieces that fit together.
He took advantage of her being so naive, and he manipulated her. I actually called Jesse and asked her about it.
Jessica Trentum, also known as Jesse, was Erin's best friend who was still back in their hometown of Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Erin definitely confided to Jesse in a different way than she confided with me. June 29th, after Jesse and I had talked on the phone, she texted me and said that Erin was going out to the desert with someone by the name of Chris Lee.
Erin confided to Jesse that she and Chris Lee had become close, developing feelings for each other.
Christopher Lee was not happy with the direction his life was going in. And Erin was a next-door neighbor who was beautiful and innocent and sweet. Christopher Lee preyed on the part of Erin that loved to take care of things that were hurting. And he used that to get her to fall in love with him.
Sound the gifting panic alarm. We've all been there. You need to find the perfect gift. You have absolutely zero ideas, and you don't know where to start. Relax. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. Just answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like, and Gift Mode gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Imagine pages of artisan espresso mugs for the coffee connoisseur in your life. Or for the pickleballer, customized paddle covers in every shade imaginable. Etsy's got you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
We have this responsibility to help protect the warfighter, and by extension, the warfighter's dependents. We take that very seriously.
I remember being on an airplane. Every other passenger had that People magazine cover with John Corwin and Erin Corwin's picture. I was like overwhelmed. This is so big. And I'm a part of this. That just also reminds you, you have a job to do.
NCIS agent Clifton Randolph had learned that a friend of Aaron's possessed important information about the 19-year-old's disappearance. So he quickly dispatched agent Sean Nash to the home of Jessica Trentum back in Tennessee.
I first meet Jessica at her residence. We did a manual search of her phone, and we identified several text messages that were important to the investigation. It appeared that Erin and Christopher Lee had a romantic relationship.
Jessica confirmed the information in those texts, telling Agent Nash that Erin Corwin and Chris Lee had been having a torrid love affair for months, ever since Chris learned of Erin's miscarriage.
He made her feel important by saying, I'm going through a really tough time now, too. I don't connect with my family anymore. I play Russian roulette every morning. That decides whether I'm going to have another day or not. And Erin had a purpose now. It was to keep Chris alive. Jesse was the only person who knew that relationship was ongoing.
To this day, I have a hard time wrapping my brain around that, because that's not who Erin was.
That wasn't the only secret Erin had been keeping from her mother.
I did not know that Erin was pregnant. I found out when I got to the apartment, John told me she was pregnant.
This new pregnancy came only months after Erin's miscarriage, and John was overjoyed. He believed he was the father and had no idea that Erin had secretly confided to Chris that the baby was his, according to Jessica Trenum.
Erin texted her friend Jesse in Tennessee that Chris was very excited about it, that he wanted to tell everyone.
At least, that's what Chris apparently told Erin. In the meantime, he was making plans to move his family back to Alaska. In late June 2014, Chris was under pressure from all sides when he texted Erin and invited her out to the desert for a surprise.
Supposedly, he had a special surprise for her in response to her pregnancy.
Erin texted Jessica, and he said, "He's honestly not sure how I'm going to react." Jessica had texted back to Erin some emojis with a ring and a diamond, and then kiss symbols. I would assume that would be an engagement ring.
The strong bond between Erin and Chris did not surprise Isabel Megley, the owner of the horse ranch where the couple spent so many hours.
Chris Lee loved to make people laugh.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
And Erin was somebody that gave him the pleasure, whereas Nicole was very strict, told him what to do, and that's what the problem was that Chris and Nicole didn't have that relationship, but he found the relationship with Erin.
Upon hearing about these tangled relationships, investigators, with the help of NCIS, went to question Chris Lee.
He said that he knew Erin, but they were just acquaintances, and he knew her from the horse ranch.
Detectives were also questioning Isabel Megley, and she told them about a memorable conversation she'd had with Chris the weekend before Erin went missing.
Chris was saying he went on an excursion in the desert with his friend. And I said, "Oh, that must have been fun." He said, "Oh, wait till you see my pictures." And I found the perfect mine. I found this mine that nobody will ever find. And I just said, "Wow." And then when she went missing, I knew she was in a mine. So I told the detectives.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
As NCIS agents and deputies from the San Bernardino Sheriff's Office continued their joint investigation into Erin Corwin's disappearance, they discovered that Chris Lee had been looking at mines the weekend before Erin disappeared. But which mines?
Joshua Tree National Park and the surrounding area, they have thousands of mines.
But investigators needed an expert to help them comb through all those mines. Search and rescue members pointed to one man, Doug Billings.
You guys okay back there? You seatbelted in?
Doug Billings is an expert in caves and mines. He actually grew up in the area of Joshua Tree, and as a child spent his summers there with his grandparents.
Doug Billings is the caveman.
Then I'm just gonna rig the rack.
He's also been called the mine whisperer.
All right, everything looks good on the clip.
He knows all about every single mine that is out in the Mojave Desert.
Backwards we walk.
And he's the only human being on the planet who does.
There's a lot of loose debris on the ledges. Pretty crumbly. I didn't even know Aaron's name at the beginning. And then I shortly got a call back saying, as they found more information, that there was some information about abandoned mines possibly being involved in the search.
There's so many mine shafts out there. And so much vast territory. Words don't do it justice. It's just a whole lot of nothing out there.
But Doug and the sheriff's search and rescue team pushed on. And then, on July 1st, 3 days after Aaron told her friend that she was heading into the desert to meet Chris Lee, investigators brought the Marine in for a formal interview. He was cooperative, did not request a lawyer, and honest enough to admit that he and Aaron had been having an emotional affair.
She was someone that I could tell stuff that I didn't want to tell anybody else, you know, because she was a secret, so I could tell her my secrets.
Christopher Lee had the advantage over Aaron Corwin in a sense that he was older, he had seen combat, he had more experience than her, that he could manipulate the situation with Aaron Corwin.
It never went past kissing.
Okay. And yet, never had any type of intercourse with her?
No. As far as we went was making out and like hands moving across each other's bodies. I thought I was in love with her, but like it was just that make-believe life that I was in love with.
But you told her that you loved her. Did she tell you that she loved
you? She did.
Okay.
And I honestly kind of think she meant it.
3 hours into the interrogation, investigators changed tactics.
All right, Chris. Here's the deal, man. I've been doing this a long time. And we're going to find out what happened here. She's not okay. Something happened out there, and she's not okay. And we're not going to stop until the truth is out there. We know that you met with her on Saturday morning, the day that she went missing. We know that. And we also know that you were one of the last people to see her alive. Are you a cold-blooded killer? Did something happen? Was there an accident?
I didn't see her on Saturday.
Okay, we're past that. This moment, okay, this moment right now is the most important moment of your life. We can't change what happened in the past. We can choose our fate from right now. If something happened, whatever it is, we have to be honest.
I guess so. Because you know she's pregnant with your child. She wasn't pregnant with my child. Maybe you really don't know. I don't know. But that's what she's telling everybody.
Detectives strongly suspected Chris Lee had killed Aaron Corwin, but lacked the proof to arrest him.
We'll get you home right now, right?
After 4 hours of questioning,
he's like, "Hold you, he's arresting right there."
Investigators turned him loose. By sheer coincidence, Chris Lee finished his tour of service with the Marines that weekend, and with no charges pending against him, he was honorably discharged. But the discharge meant he had to move out of base housing. So Chris, his wife Nicole, and their 5-year-old daughter Liberty temporarily moved into an extra room at Isabel Megley's horse ranch.
It turned out to be very stressful. The police were here, the detectives were here.
Detectives were talking to Megley when she casually mentioned an item she says Chris Lee had left in her car. A potato gun. Or potato launcher. Like this one.
A potato gun is a high-powered destructive device that basically launches potatoes. Projectiles of that type.
Out of the blue comes the detective. He said, that's a felony. We will get him right away. Because he put it in your car. So they went and got a warrant based on the potato launcher.
It actually qualifies in California as an explosive device.
That is how they got him arrested. Because they couldn't get him arrested without reason.
After being arrested for possession of a destructive device, Chris Lee got a lawyer, made bail, and was ordered not to leave the area. With the desert temperatures soaring, and no sign of Erin, her mother, who had held out hope that their 19-year-old daughter would be found alive, came to accept that Erin was likely dead, murdered by the man who had stolen her heart.
They found on her laptop that she had been looking for apartments in Alaska. I believe he was probably leading her on. I know he was writing her love notes.
When the relationship was found out and they felt they couldn't see each other anymore, he wrote her a poem that was found actually in her materials after she disappeared.
Like it or not, you still hold a piece of my heart. Ready or not, we were gonna get caught. Don't give up, and I won't too. Hopefully, like me, you still think I love you.
Erin bought into it hook, line, and sinker.
But by winning Erin's heart, Chris had backed himself into a corner. How was he going to explain Erin's pregnancy to his wife, Nicole?
I believe at some point, Chris Lee knew that the gig was up. He knew that the only way he was going to be able to solve this problem was to kill Erin Corwin. So he began figuring out the best way to do that without getting caught.
Thanks to information provided by Isabel Megley, investigators had located these photos of abandoned mines that Chris and a friend had taken the week before Erin went missing. Detectives presented those photos to Doug Billings.
And I looked at them and I said, yeah, I know exactly where those are, and described the area.
Doug pinpointed a nondescript hole in the ground called the Rose of Peru Mine.
And it was just like, she has to be in that canyon.
Told it was the last mine of the day. The way they conducted the search was to drop essentially a video camera down to the bottom of the mine shaft. They were getting ready to end it for the day, and at the bottom of this particular mine shaft, they saw the body of Erin Corwin.
And sure enough, she was right there. She was steps away from me.
On August 16th, at about midnight our time, the phone rang. And it was one of the detectives telling me that they had found a body down a mine shaft and they were pretty sure that it was Erin. I would say it's a major miracle that they found Erin. It was like finding a needle in a thousand haystacks.
Detectives immediately went to the horse ranch to arrest Chris Lee, but there was a surprise in store. Chris and his family had vanished.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
After Aaron Corwin's body was discovered in the Rose of Peru mineshaft, an autopsy revealed that the 19-year-old had been strangled. But Aaron's body was too badly decomposed to determine if she was pregnant.
Christopher Lee strangled Aaron Corwin with a homemade garrote.
It's pretty brutal. It's horrifying. It's a terrible thing to even imagine someone doing to somebody else.
Let alone somebody that they had a romantic relationship with, somebody that they had been intimate with.
It makes you wonder if she knew who she was getting involved with. Did he ever really care about her?
Aaron's remains were turned over to her husband, John.
Aaron was cremated. John has her ashes. A few of us in the family have a few ashes in like a little pendant. The Marines did grant him leave. He was pretty quiet. That's typical John. It's hard to read him to know what his thoughts are.
John was part of the candlelight vigil later held at the Tennessee Barn, where Aaron first learned to ride.
I hugged so many necks of people I didn't know. The support that we got from complete strangers is just unbelievable.
In the days following the discovery of Aaron's body, NCIS agents and sheriff's deputies had continued the manhunt for Chris Lee, who had fled from the horse ranch along with his wife and daughter.
That's when Cliff asked me if I could assist with potentially trying to locate Lee in coordination with San Bernardino. And I have access to database checks, and the average person does not have access to those same databases.
NCIS agent Ashley DeChelfin was able to track Chris Lee to his home state of Alaska. And on August 22nd, 2014, 6 days after Aaron's remains were found, Chris Lee was arrested for her murder. Prosecutor Sean Daugherty says evidence found in Lee's car further tied him to Aaron's murder.
When Chris Lee was arrested in Alaska, the vehicle he was pulled over in contained a makeshift garrote.
That garrote was similar to the one found wrapped around Aaron's neck. It was just one of several pieces of evidence discovered with Aaron's body. That mine shaft turned out to be filled with evidentiary gold.
At the bottom of the mine was, along with Aaron, was a propane tank. That propane tank was seen by a neighbor, a fellow Marine, that morning in the back of Chris Lee's Jeep. He asked Chris Lee about it, and Chris Lee said he was going to blow up a mine shaft. That propane tank was borrowed from a horse ranch that both Chris Lee and Aaron Corwin adopted and took care of horses at.
He saw my propane tank and said, "Can I have this?" And I said, "You can have it if you want it." So he took it, and he never brought it back.
All of the evidence would point to him being at the mine shaft with Aaron Corwin and him committing the murder. There was numerous pieces of circumstantial evidence.
There was a makeshift torch, which was a stick with a Marine Corps t-shirt wrapped around it. And there was only one person's DNA on the t-shirt, and that was Christopher Lee. The most damning piece of evidence was a Sprite bottle with the cap still on it, and it had the DNA of only two people, Aaron Corwin and Christopher Lee.
In October 2016, after a change in venue, and more than 2 years after Aaron had kissed her husband goodbye, Chris Lee stood trial for first-degree murder in a San Bernardino courtroom. Aaron's mother was there, filled, she says, with an eerie calm.
I felt a peace that couldn't be explained pretty much through the whole trial. I had so many people praying for me, that's the only way I can explain the peace that I felt.
Like everyone else at the trial, Aaron's mother was struck by the dramatic change in Chris Lee's appearance.
Chris lost a ton of weight. I don't know that I would have recognized him if I was just walking down the street.
The prosecutor presented a parade of witnesses, and after 8 days of wrenching testimony, the prosecutor ended his case by showing jurors the love poem Chris Lee wrote to Aaron Corwin. The evidence seemed overwhelming. The defense would need something dramatic to counter the state's evidence, and it did not disappoint.
I just felt so much hate, so much rage. I wasn't gonna let anybody hurt my daughter again.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
No one was prepared for what Chris Lee would say when he took the stand in his own defense. But his testimony brought the trial to a standstill.
And I think that the jury saw exactly what type of person Christopher Lee was.
I was surprised when I saw his testimony, what he said that he had done to Aaron Corwin. And the manner and his facial expressions, kind of like he was reading off
a script.
Yeah, a script.
The former Marine began explaining to the jurors that on June 28, 2014, in the desert surrounding Joshua Tree National Park, he and Aaron were two very different people with two very different agendas.
He claimed that he told Aaron, "When I move to Alaska, it's over between us."
I sat there and put my head down and closed my eyes.
But Laura Haviland says she heard every word.
Chris Lee, in his direct testimony, essentially said that while he was out there, he'd been having a hard time emotionally and struggling. And at one point while he was there, he grabbed a weapon and was playing Russian roulette. Aaron became very disturbed by that, became upset. She told him that she wanted to be part of his daughter's life, that she wanted to be with him and wanted to move to Alaska with him. He became enraged and told her that his daughter was his and not hers, and she didn't have any right to want to be with her. And asked Aaron if Aaron had molested his daughter, and Aaron said yes, but...
That accusation came out of the blue, but hit like a lightning bolt. The prosecutor says it was blatantly false because Chris and Nicole had never called police about the alleged abuse, and they had never taken liberty to a doctor to report it.
His story was ridiculous. Just even from the basic fact of a 19-year-old girl being out in the middle of the desert with someone she loves, and according to him, confessing to a horrible crime. Just doesn't pass the smell test at all.
Not only did he throw Aaron under the bus, he threw his daughter under the bus. There's just no way. Absolutely no way Aaron would do anything like that.
But Chris did not back away from his story. He doubled down on it, saying he was stunned by Aaron's supposed confession.
I just kept choking her. I don't know how long it was. It might have been 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It felt like forever. And I just kept choking her.
One thing that does kind of haunt me is what was going through her brain. What was she thinking when he was choking her? She was with somebody that she thought loved her. Somebody she felt she could trust. And My only saving grace is I choose to believe that she was unconscious very quick, that she didn't have much time to think about it.
Then you threw her down a mine shaft, didn't you?
I did.
Like a piece of trash.
I threw her down the mine shaft, yes.
Like a piece of trash. Right?
Is that a question?
Yes.
Yes.
It's important for the jurors to hear that. It was important for everyone to hear that, that he threw it down like a piece of garbage.
Journalist Beth Ford Roth said the courtroom became extremely quiet as everyone absorbed the horror of Aaron's murder.
And I had to put my head down because I began to cry because it was so horrific to me that this man not only broke this poor girl's heart, he murdered her. It was so horrific.
There was no evidence Aaron Corn was molesting his daughter other than from him.
But Prosecutor Daugherty was not done with Chris Lee.
Prosecutor had sort of a giant rag doll, basically a human-sized doll. He puts the garrote around the doll's neck. And I heard a gasp.
And you were going to follow through with that decision?
Yes.
Okay. That's about 10 seconds in. You could have stopped. Right?
No.
Minute 20? Still no, huh?
No.
You can let go. Can you let go now?
Yes, sir.
Seconds can drag on forever when you're just silent. And I think it was powerful. And I think it got his point across. At any time during that 3 minutes when he's strangling her, he could have stopped, which even further shows premeditation, deliberation.
During closing arguments, the defense strategy became clear.
Was it murder?
When Chris Lee's lawyers argued his client was guilty only of involuntary manslaughter.
We have to talk about what the evidence actually is.
Not first-degree murder. He claimed Chris had not planned to kill Aaron.
The day the jury went out, I was so totally drained that I literally was tripping just walking. I could not pick my feet up. It was just a very scary day because you just don't know, you know, what are all these people thinking?
By the next morning, they had a verdict.
Guilty of murder in the first degree.
We, the jury, in the above entitled
action. When they read the verdict, I, you know, immediately thought, we've got justice for you, Aaron.
Chris Lee received a sentence of life without the possibility of parole.
It's a case I'll never forget.
This is a case I won't forget either because it's just something that hits close to home. There were times where it was a little emotional because she's 19 and she had her whole life ahead of her.
Laura Haviland asked if she could accompany us to the mine shaft where Aaron's body was discovered. She had never been there, but wanted to see it for herself.
When you were taken from us, we lost our breath of fresh air. I know without a doubt that you are walking the streets of gold with Jesus, and I will see you again.
Nearby, Laura also visited Aaron's garden, the makeshift memorial Doug Billings created near Joshua Tree National Park.
I want people to know that Aaron was sweet, naive, an incredible young lady. She was not a perfect teenager, but you couldn't have asked for a better teenager. When Aaron was talking to you, you felt like you were the most important person in the room. We just didn't have enough time with Aaron. You know, you're not supposed to bury your babies. She just went too fast.
We have to show that if you murder a dependent spouse, we will pursue you relentlessly. And at some point, you will be brought to justice.
Join me, 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty, on my podcast, My Life of Crime, as I take on true crime investigations like no other. This season, I'm looking into the secrets within families, cutting straight to the evidence and talking to the people directly involved. Enjoy My Life of Crime on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on Wondery Plus.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. Two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
If you're listening to this podcast, then chances are good you are a fan of The Strange, Dark, and Mysterious. And if that's the case, then I've got some good news. We just launched a brand new Strange, Dark, and Mysterious podcast called Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries. And as the name suggests, it's a show about medical mysteries, a genre that many fans have been asking us to dive into for years, and we finally decided to take the plunge, and the show is awesome. In this free weekly show, we explore bizarre, unheard-of diseases, strange medical mishaps, unexplainable deaths, and everything in between. Each story is totally true and totally terrifying. Go follow Mr. Ballin's Medical Mysteries wherever you get your podcasts, and if you're a Prime member, you can listen early and ad-free on Amazon Music.